This is Sons of the Flag Radio, brought to you by Fire Engineering Blog Talk Radio. Our mission at Sons of the Flag is to revolutionize burn care and the quality of life for veterans, first responders, and families. Sons of the Flag believes that the future of burn care resides in research and development. Our vision is to accelerate the process of testing leading technologies and pushing them into circulation for immediate use by burn survivors across the nation. We are truly thankful for the support that everyone continues to show Sons of the Flag, even during the midst of these difficult times. Your support is what allows our mission to keep pressing forward, and for that we are truly thankful for you. Let us start tonight's show by honoring our brothers and sisters that we've lost since our last show. Lee Whitman, Edward Hine, Ronald Perry, Randy Robinson, Roland Brooks, Andrew Davis, Logan Young, Stephen Sunday, Daryl Woodard, Brian Hamilton, George Roke, John Clift, Mark Culp, Leonard Coney, Lloyd Lozinger, Danny Watkins, Ronald Spitzer. Let us take a moment of silence for these fallen heroes. On our last episode, we sat down with retired Cleveland firefighter and strategic fire training director Jeff Shoup and Seattle Fire Department's and Nozzle Forward Zone Aaron Fields. They discussed mentorship, engine companies, and basically anything else that just came to their mind. If you'd like to listen to this episode or any of our other Sons of the Flag episodes, then log on to Fire Engineering Blog Talk Radio and look up Sons of the Flag. Be sure to also look up Sons of the Flag on all social media by typing in @SonsOfTheFlag. You can also access information about our mission at Sons of the Flag, find out a bit more of who we are and any of our upcoming events by logging onto our website at www.sonsoftheflag.org. We are still holding our raffle for the customized Rad Rides H1 Hummer. Due to the unforeseen circumstances with COVID, we have decided to extend the sweepstakes just for a bit longer. You can still join the sweepstakes by logging onto www.sonsoftheflag.org/Hummer. $20 will get you one chance to win and $100 for six chances to win, with all the proceeds going to fund our mission at Sons of the Flag. A special thanks and shout out goes to Ryan Appleman for the donation of the H1 Hummer to support our cause. Tonight on Sons of the Flag Radio, we have President CEO Ryan Birdman Parrott and our new National Task Force Director, retired DC Fire Lieutenant Greg Turnell. 2020 was a rough year for everyone, especially for nonprofits. During this wild year, burns like other emergencies just do not cease to exist. So we're going to discuss the impact we were able to have on our mission here at Sons of the Flag during this past year and how Sons of the Flag has had to cope with these new challenges. We hope that you enjoy this episode. Well, welcome to tonight's episode. I'm the Texas Task Force leader, Justin Bemis. I'm sitting in tonight for Chad Gruber. He's had a medical issue come up with the family, and we wish him nothing but a speedy recovery and everybody's staying well. We are thinking about him, and we just want you guys to know that it is Justin Bemis tonight and not Chad Gruber. So if you're disappointed, I do apologize. Sons of the Flag, this has been a wild year for us, 2020, right? It's been a hot topic. What didn't go wrong in this country this year, right? There's a lot of great things, a lot of bad things. But depends on how you definitely view it, what's good or bad for you, right? Sons of the Flag, our mission never stopped. We kept going, we kept working, we kept, you know, kept this machine going. Burns didn't stop, emergencies didn't stop, our mission never stopped. And so, given the lack of funding, we've had to hit a couple roadblocks, but you know what? We've overcame these roadblocks. In tonight's episode, we're sitting down with President and CEO Ryan Birdman Parrott and our very new task force director, retired DC firefighter, Lieutenant Greg Turnell, and our ever so wonderful Landon Shaw. We're going to have a little discussion about Sons of the Flag, how we've overcome 2020, what obstacles we had in front of us, and basically what the future is for us. 2020 was a dark year. Like I said, we're leaping into 2021. We're going full head of steam. And so we're going to kind of lay it on the line for what we've got going for us. And so I want this discussion to be between Ryan and Greg. Landon and I will chime in whenever we need to. But this is going to be one sitting down that you're going to truly love. So I'm going to start this off with Ryan. what is it that we were able to accomplish this past year in 2020 as Sons of the Flag?
It's a great question. Yeah, it was an interesting start to the year. You know, we started to see things in the news about this potential virus, and I don't know. I don't watch the news much, so it was what it was. But then you start hearing constantly, and then I started to take a real notice around early February. And obviously, our charity is not endowed, so we don't have tons of funding we're sitting on, so that when a rainy day comes or a problem scenario happens, that we're just going to be fine and we weather the storm. We're constantly in the battle to raise funding for our burn patients. So, you know, knowing that and then starting to hear this more, I said, oh boy, this could be bad. So ultimately, I reached out to some of my closest personal friends who were up and also be some of our top benefactors. And I said, hey, I don't know what this coronavirus looks like. I don't even know what it is, but I'm seeing it a lot. I'm hearing it a lot, and this could be a pretty bad deal. So in light of that, if you were considering making a donation this year, would you consider making it now so we can weather whatever kind of crap storm we're about to encounter? And they did, and they did more than they typically do, and it just about funded us for the year. And so that was absolutely, it's a God thing, and I don't just say that lightly. I mean, God has his hand on everything, but I don't know that I would have just naturally had that inclination to say, hey, you know, let's go reach out to some guys and see if we can do this thing right, do it fast, because we don't ever get donations fast. But it was just such a blessing. And that gave us the reward to be able to say, okay, well, I'm not going to sit down and wait, but at least we have a cushion right now to really focus and see what really unveils what comes out of this virus. And sure enough, it hit globally and became a disaster. It's still a disaster right now, you know, 1 year later. And we're still here, and we're not only here, but we're crushing it. And we're going to talk later about that, but we are in a really good place.
You know, a lot of us, obviously we have to run events, you know, to bring money into this organization. We do, like I said, we have fundraisers, and that's typically what the task force members do. We set up fundraisers, we set up with our local burn centers, and we try to bring that money in. And Ryan knows that we all pretty much got shut down from March is when all of us pretty much got put aside.
And yeah, because so, we were able to do Portland, and then right after we came back from Portland, everything hit the fan.
Yeah, and it hasn't changed much.
It hasn't come down from the fan yet.
No.
Yeah.
So with that being said, obviously us being a nonprofit, what are some of the difficulties of COVID on a nonprofit? We obviously don't have the abilities of such these private companies to take out loans and to keep us afloat. So we're strictly running off of donations and, you know, all of the good-hearted people that truly understand our mission and love everything that we do. What difficulties obviously are associated with running a nonprofit during that time?
Yeah, I mean, so one of our biggest difficulties, you know, obviously, when it started to hit the fan, you know, people start to look at, what do they have going on? Where's this going? What am I going to do in life? And then you started to hear people losing their jobs and companies putting people on furlough, and just this disaster started happening, and it was a ticking time bomb. And for us, you know, those are our donors. Our donors are anybody under the sun. And so when you start seeing the masses take a massive hit, that's dramatically going to crush charities. And there's a lot of charities that not only really had a hard time, but actually closed because of it. And I would say that the funding portion for us, because of the move that we made initially, was the right one. Our biggest problem was that what we do at Sons of the Flag is, it's interesting, you know, it's all elective surgery. And when coronavirus started really getting into each hospital and they had to expand to different organ or different units or whatnot, they freezed elective surgery around the nation. And that really is that's our coup de grace. That's what we do. Our whole deal at Sons is to make people better who have been burned. So we want to revolutionize burn care for all Americans. We want to send people through life-changing surgery because the thought is, okay, the mental side is horrible and horrific, and it's going to take time. And the cosmetic side to it can be worked on by a plastic surgeon, but the actual real fix is by a burn reconstructive surgeon when they do life-changing functional surgery. If I can get you functional again, and I say, I'm not doing any of the surgeries. I'm just a caretaker of introducing the doctor to the vet, the patient. So I'm the middleman, right? I'm like the jockey or whatever, the hype man, right? But if we can get them functional again, then they'll start to see major growth in their life, and then they'll start to want to act and counter all those other issues, the mental side and just the cosmetic stuff, to form their face a little differently or their hands or do those cosmetic things that make them feel a little bit more personal inside. But for us, when they shut down elective surgery, that was the ticking time bomb for us. That was like, oh, crap. If we can't action what we do here, then what are we doing here? And I mean, that's when it becomes a problem where you're now just sitting and waiting, and the bills keep coming in. You still got to pay for rent. You still got to pay for salary, all that stuff. And so now you start to burn money, and you can't do anything else with your money besides just burn it. And so that was a problem we did not want to get into right away, because this is not our money. The cool thing about it was the hospital we work with out of Tampa, it was only a 2 to 3 week period where they actually shut down elective surgery. And then the idea came out, hey, what if we were to take our patients and send them to Florida, but quarantine them 14 days prior in an Airbnb so that they know they're clean, they can get a test when they get to the hospital, and then we can continue on mission. And that is exactly what we did. And so while it's cost us more money for patient, usually costs us $3,500 per patient, it's cost us anywhere from $5,500 to $7,500 per patient on the average surgery for our trip to Florida. But that 14-day quarantine kept us going. And because of that, we were actually able to help more patients last year in 2020 than we've ever helped in our history.
Because if I remember correctly, we turned no one away.
Nobody.
Last year.
Nobody.
That's unheard of, especially given the difficulty of, I mean, just society in general. I mean, you know, elective surgery is just the mere thought of them saying, well, you can't have the surgery because you don't meet this criteria. To me, it's astonishing. I mean, I was waiting for a shoulder surgery during that time, and they're telling me you can't go get this repaired. Then I've known people that have a brain tumor who couldn't go get it repaired, and not even to mention people that are trying to get more functional in society. You know, our whole mission, our everything that we're trying to do, you can't do it.
You see, that's the thing. There's always a way around it, and you just really have to use your creative brain to get there. Because, again, like you just said, you know, if you're waiting with an elective surgeon, and there's a difference between saying, okay, I need to get my pinky finger unbroken and fixed, and now it just doesn't look good, so I want to do a little something to it.
Mm-hmm.
That can wait.
Right.
It's not life-altering. But when you have a child who's severely disfigured, burned, and has his whole life ahead of him and needs the surgery now, and that's the whole thing I always want to impress on people, that when you get burned, there's no waiting.
Mm-mm.
This is not an injury that wants to wait for you and you can wait on. This is a surgery that you have to jump on immediately, and you have to continually fight it until you're happy enough or you're tired of dealing with surgeries and you're like, I'm good for right now. And until the advancements get there, which we're super behind still, we're not Sons of the Flag, but as a whole collectively for burn care, we are behind on what we can provide our patients that will change their skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't wait. We want to get these things done. And so, you know, sure enough, we started thinking around a round table and said, all right, let's get them out there earlier. And the blessing is that the patients, that they were willing to stay 14 days. Now, obviously, it was in Tampa, Florida, right on the water.
Pretty cush.
So, I mean, you're trying to hook them up because they're getting ready to go under the knife, so we want to give them a little something love. But we're also not dealing with a patient who has a small, you know, curling iron burn on a little piece of their body. We're dealing with patients that have, you know, 20 to 30 surgeries under their belt already. They're fatigued on surgery. They're burned over half their body, or at least close to, and they've been through enough. Mm-hmm. And so it's our job to make sure that we spend the heart of the time doing the hard work and getting all the due diligence done so that they have a smooth sailing ship when they get out there and then they go through yet another surgery.
Right. I kind of want to piggyback off that. So you're talking about, you know, through Tampa, let's talk about some of our programs, you know, the strength and the growth of these programs that we have in place. You know, obviously, Mission Reconstruct, you know, we got several things in place. Do you want to kind of elaborate on what we've seen with the growth? Obviously, you talked about Mission. We found a way to go around the problem, and we begin to make something happen, and it just took a little bit longer, but we're finally where we need to be. So what is some of the strength and growth of our programs during this time that you've seen?
You know, what's really cool about this is the doctors, they're the angels. They would probably laugh if they listened to this, and they're like, yeah, we're definitely the opposite of angels, but they are. And they've given us this blessing to really give us this program where we can give our patients this incredible surgery, because every surgery is different. I think big thing for us is that because they've had such a success rate. In fact, you know, this is not my number just because I want to look good as a charity. This is purely out of the patient's mouths, is that right now we have 100% success rate with our doctors going through and our patients going through our surgery with our doctors in Florida. Every one of them are happy with the results, and we know this because now they're repeat offenders. They want to go back. They are going back. They're locked in. And so that proves the point, like, okay, I feel comfortable with these doctors. They did the right job. And to more of that, so a lot of patients, they get hand burns. They learn how to become functional with their burns when they can have contractures in their hands and whatnot. They learn how to get comfortable with that over time, and then they're used to it. They typically don't want to operate at that point on their hands anymore because now they're used to that. And if they lose anything more, then they can't use their hands. That freaks them out. So we send patients out to go get looked at on everything else, and the doctor's doing this insane job, and then the next thing we hear from the patient, which is twice now, they're operating on my hands next. And that's just a huge seal of approval for us to know that they're so confident with this program that they could go through it again and want to be a repeat offender. That's number one for our growth, because now we have more repeat offenders than we had. You know, it was initial patients going into this one first-time program, and now we have repeats. So that's pretty cool. The other side to it is that there's word of mouth. Mm-hmm. So now patients are part of groups, and they're part of burn collaborations, whether it be small in their city or through an organization of some sort. They're connecting with other burn patients and telling them, hey, do you know about Sons of the Flag? You need to. And that's huge for us because, you know, the model that we've always had was we had a task force. We tried to reach out to people. Guys would call when we, you know, have a burn patient who's on the job as a firefighter, somebody in the military, or a civilian in their town. But we were eagerly searching them out around the country. Now they're coming in through our organization to where we have never met them before, and having to do the back, you know, the track that. Right. How did you get to us? Who introduced you?
Yeah.
And you start to see the line of communication. You're like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
You there? Okay. I just want to ask you, kind of from the task force perspective, you know, what's some of the strength and the growth that you've seen? Because you kind of took over, if I'm correct, back in March, you started the transition. You didn't fully retire until, was it May that you retired?
Yeah, May.
So May and then October.
May of last year.
Yeah, in October you officially became the true task force director. Am I correct?
Right.
All right, so what are some of the strengths that you see coming out? Our task force program is obviously, like Bert was just talking about, what path did these people take to find out who we are? Is it coming through the task force? Is it word of mouth? Is it Facebook? Is it, so you know, any sort of social media platform? Do you see a strength in the growth in the task force itself, and where do you see us kind of going forward with that?
Yeah, it's. I was really surprised when I came on board in October. A lot of folks that came forward, and a lot of it's attributed to, you know, Ryan doing his interviews on television. That also sparks a lot of interest, but not just the amount, but the quality of people that we're seeing. Guys that are really motivated and are smart. You know, they've got college background and they know how to work social media, which is a big help for me, because I still operate with a flip phone, so
I depend true, on these guys. Just so everybody knows, this is not extraordinarily true.
He's got his antenna pulled out of his phone right now.
But Ryan told me already that's going to change, so I'm going to be a more smart move this week. But it really helps to have these guys. They're very savvy. They know how to work it, and they're not afraid to come out of their shell, and that's the big thing. Getting these task force leaders to go out, which can be intimidating to go to a hospital and talk to an administrator or a doctor, it's intimidating, especially when you're talking to somebody that knows more about the subject than you do. But these guys aren't afraid to go out and meet people and talk to them. And that's our big push with the task force. Get these guys to go out, find these burn centers that's close to them, burn camps, and talk to them and find out what their capability gaps are, what they need to provide better burn care, and what can help their staff. And you'd be surprised how many shortfalls there are in burn units around this country, even prestigious ones. Mm-hmm. Johns Hopkins, Bayview, one of the most elite, best burn centers in the world. And, you know, they have shortfalls. And when I went and spoke with them, they were like, you know, hell yeah, we need this, we need that. And there's no shortage of things that they they need. It's the procurement process is just like any other business organization. It's a, you know, you can't ask and get it. It's usually time that's associated with, and you have to wait. But so when we go speak to them, they're all ears. They want to develop a relationship with organizations such as Sons of the Flag.
Right. And so you've been here since basically the inception. You know, you're the OG, you're the original. And, you know, I remember when I first finally got to meet you at FDIC, I was actually nervous as hell because reading the, you know, going on our page and then hearing everybody talk about Greg Turnell, I was like, man, who is this guy? And then I remember sitting there talking with you and Glenn for extended periods of time. And I'm like, these guys get it, man. They're all about this mission. And you know, just the conversations I had with you and Glenn at FDIC, I mean, it's game changing. I mean, there's a perspective that I don't get to see because I only get to sit up here with Bird and Chad and Landon periodically, but I get to see what it's like across the world. And I mean, across the nation, not the world, but we are the world, but
yeah.
Across this nation and what you've done, not just for Sons of the Flag, but for the task force itself, because it is evolving. And I want to get into that in a little bit, but you have got a mission before you.
Yeah, I mean, it's we're just regular guys that, you know, a lot of us are burn survivors. I've been burned a number of times and, you know, nothing severe, but, you know, we have that connection. And firemen are still getting burned.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a good friend that passed away, you know, died in the line of duty from, you know, a structure fire. He fell through the floor and subsequently died. And I have other friends that have died from burn injuries. So it hits close to home. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a culture going around, not all fire departments, but a lot of the big progressive fire departments. And I spoke to a lot of firemen that have been burned in recently, the last few years. And it's a culture that they're trying to make these guys feel like they did something wrong. And a lot of them feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
They've wore their gear correctly. You know, they use their flaps, their Nomex, their gloves, but they still got burned. And it's like, what did you do wrong? And they get this guilt.
Right.
And, you know, that's our job is still inherently dangerous.
It is always going
to
be.
Big managers don't like that. They don't like to hear that. But if we're going to put ourselves in harm's way to save people, then the job is going to be inherently dangerous. It always will be. And that's a big thing that I'm seeing a lot of firemen burn, that they're walking away and they're having to deal with not only the scars or the worry of not being able to come back to work, but also, did I do something wrong? And I'm here to tell all the brothers listening, you didn't do anything wrong. Okay. Sometimes you get burned.
Right. You know,
and that's just the job.
Sometimes you got to deal with your administration and what their views are. Are you being written up for doing the right thing? You know, default aggressive.
Right.
We have an aggressive approach. We all know we're saving lives. That is our whole mission and our whole motto is to get in there and put the fire out. I mean, we signed on to be firefighters,
right.
You know, not fire
right.
watchers. And so, you know, right. to deal with, you know, workforce commissions and all this, you know, these other programs, sometimes that get in the way, you know, like you said, these guys feel punished. You know, there's Firefighter Rescue Survey right. I follow on Facebook, and every single day I'm seeing either a firefighter burned or civilians burned or civilian casualties. I mean, like, Bird's always told us, fires are not going away. They're never going to go away. Burns are always going to happen.
Right.
But what can
we
do?
We've
here?
Come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
We've come a long way. I mean, I came on the job. We didn't have Nomex hoods. They didn't issue Nomex hoods.
Right.
You know, it was every room and contents fire you went on, you usually walked away with a steam burn on your face,
right.
around your face piece. I mean, that was just. And now we've made huge advancements in protection.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
you know,
the gear's there, the
it's
safety's
there.
That yeah, there's always that variable that's always involved. You know, we have the gear, we have the protection, we have the research, we have the studies. But then it also, does it fall back to the training? Are we training the guys right? Are we teaching them the right mentality? Are the guys, are the company officers, or the chiefs behind these guys, you know, allowing them to do the job properly? And like you said, are they being punished for doing the job properly? That's the other big problem. But
right.
burns are going to happen. We're going to, and that's why we're here.
Right.
So
yep.
with all that, I'm going to direct this back to Bird real quick. What's our mission going forward? And Greg, once chime in anytime on this one, because I think this pertains to you too.
So, I mean,
gotcha.
that's a That's an automatic machine gun question right there. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, our mission, you know, it's funny, a friend of mine, I always think that I try to be creative. I like creativity, and I think it's a fun tool for us to all use. Like, what are you passionate about? Well, if you're passionate about it, you're probably getting creative with it. Well, that's art, and that's what my friend called me the other day, was an artist. And I thought that was really cool and very unique, because I don't think of myself as an artist. I can't paint. I can't draw. I mean, I can't do any of that stuff. I don't play any musical instruments, so I'm like, wow, that's the first time I've been referred to as an artist, but it's cool. We create here, and the idea for us is to create in the environment of burns anything we can to better suit that burn survivor and their families. So deploying new programs, and I'll say it here, but I'm not going to unleash the full thing. We developed a brand new program, and it's actually coming out here in the, I say near future, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we will unleash this, but it's our newest program. And I'm blown away and so excited about this program, because it's now going to be a specific program for pediatric burn survivors. That is incredible. We don't open up new programs every year, just because, one, what we do is expensive and it's hard, and it's just the right thing to do. We do it until we're very, very good at it, and we don't ever lose sight of what we're trying to do to be good at it. But we don't move on to the next program until we know we've got this first one locked down. And so we have two programs really that are focused on, is the Burn Care Mission Reconstruct Freedom, and then the Fellowship Program to hire surgeons in the residency to become burn reconstructive surgeons. And so now being able to open up this third program specifically for pediatric burn survivors, it's the biggest one, because obviously children are, you know, for any of us who have children, we understand that if our child was injured, we'd do anything in the world for them. But you can't even imagine what the parents go through during their child's burn. Mm-hmm. Can we be there to help them, though? And anytime I see a child that's been burned, it's like, man, we should do something about that, or we got to do something about that. We have to set up a specific program, but it all has to align. Mm-hmm. You have to have the right doctors. You have to have the right setup. We have the right setup. Right. We have the right doctors. And now we're going to release it here in the next couple of weeks. So just stay tuned for that. So we're opening up a new program. That's the future. For us, growing and expanding our mission. Also, you know, raising more money. This year, we know that COVID's going to be here this year. Don't care how long it's going to be here. I can't focus on that. I got to do my part in society to stay safe and keep clean. But I got to continue to focus on what we got here at Sun. So we're going full steam ahead. Our goal is to get back to the funding that we had last year or 2 years ago, and absolutely crush that number, which we're going to do. That's not even a factor. Mm-hmm. We're going to destroy the number of funds we raised. And that's something that everyone can do. You can donate. We would love you to donate. Even if you feel so inclined, go to sonsoftheflag.org and support at any level. A big thing for us is recurring donations.
Yeah.
So if you continue to support at a $5 a month or a $10 a month or however you can, that goes a long way, you know, because our patients will continue to get burned for the rest of our lives. There's nothing that they're going to create in the near future that's going to stop people altogether from getting burned. And there is nothing out there in the country, in the world, that instantly heals your burns and fixes your burns.
All right.
So we're going to have burn survivors because of accidents, because firefighters do hard jobs, and because there are blast wounds overseas.
Yep.
It's going to constantly happen. We need to continue to fund these people that go through it. It's one of the most horrific injuries in the world. But you can share this message with everybody you know. The big thing is education in this world. We can never stop learning. And so if you're talking to people, tell them, hey, did you know that Sons of the Flag exists? You know, just share that with them, because simply put, just giving that information, someday they might have a family member or a friend that gets burned, and now they know where to go, and they can send them directly to us. And they're like, man, I'm so glad I just found out that Sons of the Flag existed. And you just helped that friend or family with their friend's life. You know, you help them move their life forward. So just communicating is a big deal. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to shoot, move, and communicate. That's what we do in life. So communicate the word Sons of the Flag. If you don't know about Sons of the Flag's history and background, I would tell you it 1,000 times over. But you can go to sonsoftheflag.org. That way I capture you right on the website, or you can see that donate button there.
We track you now.
Sonsoftheflag.org. Send people to it. Push it out on social media and let everybody know that we exist, especially in the fire service, the EMS, anybody who's got the idea or the chance to get burned. And I don't know what your policies are and what you can tell patients and that, but I don't care. if you got somebody that gets burned and they're going to the hospital, make sure that somebody who's in that EMS box with them says, you say, hey, just reach out to sonsoftheflag.org when you get done with this. They're going to help you out. Send that word out. Send us more patients. And, yeah, I appreciate you guys.
I think that's the thing people need to remember. There's no questions asked. It's an application you fill out, and Sherry is pretty rapid about getting back to these applicants. And I think people need to remember that it's not costing you anything. It's not – all it is just taking time. Fill out the application, get it in, and let's get the ball rolling for you. And I think that's where so many people, I think, might get hung up on. They're like, well, I got to fill out an application. What's in it? What do I need to do? You just need to fill it out.
Right.
It doesn't mean we're doing anything. You need anything from us, but let's get you in. Let's get you in our system.
Get in that queue.
Let's help you in case you need something. You don't know the future.
That's exactly right. In fact, how it lines out for this program, whether it is for Mission Reconstruct for adults or for pediatrics, it's simple. You go to sonsoftheflag.org. You go to the application page. Fill it out. It's 9 lines of information. You submit it, and it goes right to Sherry, who's our director of development. She'll immediately respond to you and let you know that she's got you set up, and she'll connect you with the hospital to get you in the system. That takes all of 10 minutes to make a phone call and make sure that you're set in the system. Once that happens, we do every single thing, start to finish with you. We take care of logistics to get you set up with the doctor team where you'll do your Skype consultation, where the doctors get to know everything about you, your past history, what you want to actually have happen, and they'll tell you what you also need and what they can provide for you. And that's the only part of this entire endeavor that we're not a part of. Sons of the Flag steps out of that communication so that you guys have a personal chat. It's really about you two. It's nothing about us. And then it's our responsibility after you guys set the tone for, we want to do surgery. The doctors say this is the date. If you confirm it and say, I'd love to do this date, then we book you. We get you scheduled. You go out to Tampa, Florida. You surf some waves. You get your surgery. And then you live on. You move on with your life. And then you call us again in 6 months or a year and you say, hey, I'm ready to go again, and we get you going again. So it really is turnkey and click. We handle all the logistics in-house. We don't share your information publicly. Clearly, we wouldn't do that. And we're not even a part of the involvement with the doctor team and you who communicate what you need. That's purely for you. And hopefully someday we'll turn you into an ambassador where you can help others who are unsure of being able to walk with their skin proudly in public become that proud person.
And I can vouch. You know, every time I step foot in the office down here in Dallas, you know, Ryan is an artist. He's always got some sort of plan. He's got some sort of scheme. He's got the look on his face. And as soon as you walk in, it's always something new. It's always bigger and better, too, every single time.
And it's always really well thought out. It's not just, you know, a concept. He goes from concept to look to design and getting the right people to work on the right parts of the project. And Bird has built relationships with every single one of these people. And, you know, whenever he's serious about something, he doesn't do it half-assed. He goes full bore. Right. And that's why it's such an honor to work with him. I mean, every single idea that's coming up, you know, pass or fail, he's going at it 100%.
I go home and tell my wife, I'm like, this dude's crazy as hell. Like, you're not going to believe what
he just jumped off the World War One monument. So,
you're not
going to
believe
on.
What he's got next. I was like, there's no way. And and sure as crap, next month, it is happening. I'm like, this dude, nothing has ever stopped
They pulled
him,
that so. Legacy jump together in 2 months.
2 months.
2 months. And it was absolutely incredible. I mean, you're talking about having nationwide coverage and a World War One monument and getting a veteran from so many different conflicts. I mean, but that's what he does with Sons of the Flag. It's from start to finish. He's going to get it figured out, and he's going to get the right people to work on it.
And that's why I bring that up, is because that passion and energy, I think, spill over into the rest of the team, especially when they get to meet you face-to-face. Because there's some guys you don't get to see, obviously, on a regular basis, where you get to see this ugly mug and Chad and Landon all the time.
Not this ugly mug.
Yeah.
Dear God.
That's beauty there. But they don't get that connection, and they don't get to see that passion as soon as you step foot in the office and you walk in here and it's like, dude, you're not going to believe this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I think that's the type of – you know, operation we've built here is that we've got this awesome machine going here, and it starts at the top. And, you know, then you have Greg, you know, what do you think, hey, Greg, what do you want to add in about the mission going forward from your perspective?
Well, what Ryan said is spot on. I mean, I always hate following Ryan because he takes all my, all my words. But the biggest, I mean, we're talking to a firefighter audience mostly.
Yeah.
So I want to connect with them for a second that there are a lot of fire departments throughout the nation that have burn foundations. I mean, I came from one. We had a great burn foundation, but they only treated firemen and civilians in the D.C. metro area. They did a good job. Unfortunately, not a lot of fire departments nationwide have that resource. And that's going to be our big push with the task force, especially with our career, not just the career firefighters, but also volunteers, is bring to your locals that Sons of Flag is going to be that go-to resource for them, you know, for the locals. Let the locals know that we have this great resource to go to in the event one of our guys gets burned or, you know, one of our citizens in the area gets burned. We have some place to go, and we have an advocate. And that's the big thing is, you know, you need that advocate, and Sons of Flag will be that advocate for burn survivors. And I think that's going to be a big push with the task force right now. And I'm really looking forward to it.
So let's kind of, oh, you got something?
Yeah, I want to jump in there real quick, this bird. So, you know, it's for those of you who are new to listen to this and haven't heard the interview between Greg and myself, you know, it was really interesting and how this all started. You know, we were coming up with the idea, the concept of Sons of the Flag 9 years ago now, just over 9 years ago. And we had no clue what we were going to do. It was focused on one Army Ranger. That's all we wanted to do is help him, get him squared away. Didn't think outside of that. Wasn't thinking about the rest of the military in any regard, let alone fire service or EMS or civilian. And I just happened to have somewhat of a profile on LinkedIn. And I say somewhat, where I had posted a picture, which was my LinkedIn picture, of me in a KISS face paint with my operator gear on. And just people started adding me out of the woodwork because they're like, what in the world is this? And then I'd pushed out Sons of the Flag. It was like one of the first posts I ever done. I think it was one of the last I ever did too. So I'm terrible with social media. Then I get reached out to by a guy named Greg Turnell. And it was interesting because the initial burst was, you know, my name's Greg Turnell, and, you know, here I am. I'm a D.C. firefighter, career firefighter, and I got three boys all in the military. And I was like, that's insane. And he's like, I love what you're doing, and I think you should think about expanding to the fire service. And I'd love to be your guy out here to local in D.C. to help you and support you. And I was absolutely blown away with that. Because now I'm like, this word is getting out. There's somebody that believes in this mission who's not here. We got to get our crap together. We're not even set up here in Dallas, and now we got D.C. that wants to open up. We got something real here, and then it just exploded my mind. Like, wow, fire service, cannot believe we didn't even think about that. Yeah, this is definitely bigger than one person. Okay. And so Greg's been here since the beginning, and a true testament. That was 9 years ago, and he still runs his clay shoot every year. He's been doing that while being an active firefighter, just retired, and now he's full-time. So our first OG, first team leader, is now full-time with Sons of the Flag. And you just – that's awesome.
Absolutely.
So motivated for this
Absolutely.
Year.
So I was trying to – you know, we did that conversation. I was trying to find out earlier this past year between you and Greg.
Yeah,
so
it was either March or something along those lines.
So early in the year.
Yeah.
If y'all want, y'all can go Fire Engineering, Block Talk Radio – and find that
definitely
episode.
Go back and listen to that episode. It's a great episode.
Yeah, I get that right, Greg. You got three boys that were in the military at the time, because you got like 16 kids. So,
what's that? I didn't hear you.
The antenna fell down.
Flip phone lost power. Yeah. I said, "Is that right? You got three boys in the military currently at that time, right?"
Yep, three of them.
Yep.
They're all out now.
Yep,
thank goodness. But
yeah, that was incredible. Yeah, I made a joke and you completely missed it. I said, you got three boys in the military, right? Not, you know, because you got like 16 kids. And I think you said your hearing aid fell out. So
You guys got the advantage of sitting across from one another talking. I don't have that luxury. I'm sitting in my truck listening to you. So it's a little hard sometimes. And no, I don't have a hearing aid. Not yet.
Well, we're getting the studio set up, and we're going to have a Zoom screen here soon. So.
Yes.
We'll be able to get people on the screen so we can do it that way.
It's going to be
all
great.
All right. I don't know if that's going to improve our hearing, but I'm all for it.
Huh? What? No, it's, yeah. It's, I was just telling a little story about it, but you know, it's just, so that's, and that's the thing about Sons that was really very, it's always been very, very unique, is that we have such a collective group of people that come from around the country. We're not looking for people, and I was talking with Greg about this. I'm not looking for the best firefighter in the country or the best, you know, military, you know, fighter or the Navy SEAL or whatever. I'm not looking for hardcore people that are hungry to just smash, you know, smash into walls, pull ceiling, or fight terrorists. I'm looking for people who are hungry to support and help our cause. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you have to be the best firefighter. Doesn't mean you can't be a crappy one.
Right.
But it doesn't mean you have to be the best. It means that you have to have what Greg calls a servant's heart to do this job. And that's what we look for. And we keep finding them. We go to FDIC and fire conferences, and we're standing there, and we have our 10-foot-10 section booth. It's nothing to write home about. It's not all the bells and whistles like these big companies put hundreds of thousands of dollars into their booth space. We don't put money into ours. We show up. We have a banner. We pop our table up, put challenge coins out. We sell out of them within an hour. We put our shirts out. We sell out, and we just tell the story. And by the end of the day, all the vendors around us can't understand why our booth is always full with a line around it.
Right.
And it's because we got 16 to 20 guys every single time from all around the country that are firefighters active, who are part of Sons of the Flags Revolution to revolutionize burn care. And they're telling the story, and we're spending individual time with these people saying, this is what Sons of the Flag is. And we continue to collect new people. You know, there's stories of, you know, people have gotten engaged at Sons of the Flag events. You know, all these cool stories. People have met their future wives at our events. We've definitely, and that's just a testament to good people being around, you know, our events. We have task force leaders that have come. One in particular, Ryan Murphy. He was in New Jersey at the time trying to get on the job as a firefighter. He was burned before he was a firefighter. And ultimately, we become a Myrtle Beach firefighter. Or at least South Carolina. And he was burned, and he came up to us, and he took the same approach that we did, where he was like, I'm not happy with what burn care looks like in this country. I'm going to go overseas, and I'm going to get my treatment to this innovative stuff that's happening. And I knew all about it, so we started talking. He's like, unbelievable. And he dropped his bag. Now, he was a firefighter, hoping to be a firefighter at this largest fire convention in the world. I think it was either that or fire. It was one of the two. But he was at this big fire convention as a potential fireman looking at the new gear, trying to meet people, and he drops his bag, hops behind the booth, throws on a Sun shirt, and he's never left the cause since.
Yeah.
And that's what we get. We got guys who just come up to us, and girls. Guys and girls that come up to us, and they're like, wow, this is really cool. Where do I sign up, or how do I become involved? And that's a question we need you to ask. And we need you to ask it more, and we need you to send it out. Like, if you can't be that person, but you know somebody in your department who's yearning to be a part of something, we need more task force leaders. Greg needs more guys on his team and girls on his team to really combat this. We're in 30 states right now. We definitely want to be in all 50 states. We can't fully do our job unless we cover the United States of America. So we got to get that going, and we got to do that this year.
Absolutely.
So with that, Greg, let's talk about the task force. How can people join the task force?
Well, the easiest, quickest way is just go online and click on the top tab, you know, join task force. And there's a little form there you punch in. Landon sends me the form, and then I'll reach out and have a chat with you. So it's very easy.
It's pretty straightforward.
And then after that, we get your email set up. We get you a donation page. And if you want to become a monthly contributor, you can become a monthly contributor. And then Greg works with you, sends you all the information. And, you know, your goal is to link up with your burn unit and your area and help us build that relationship, you know, and let's hit the ground running.
Yep.
And to be very clear, becoming a task force leader does not mean that you have to financially donate or support to become one. Mm-hmm. Definitely we love everybody on the team supporting, but the primary function for you is to become part of our team, to learn about Sons of the Flag first, so you can be an ambassador for the cause. So you got to learn the Sons first. Secondly, is you reach out to your burn unit to understand what their capital's needs list are and where their goals are, and then bring that back to us. We now have a building relationship, working relationship. If you're good at event fundraising or you can put an event together, awesome. If you know somebody who can help you with it, it's basically you become the team leader and you form your team underneath you in your area, and you guys go out and do something awesome. And the coolest thing about it is when you raise the funds and it goes to Sons of the Flag, dollar for dollar that you raise goes back to your community, and you'll already know what it can go to, because you'll have the Capitals needs list from the burn unit. And so you can see it all the way through to fruition. And then now that burn unit and those patients can come to your next event to say, well, because of what you guys raised for us last year, this is what it did for us this year. And now I'm a huge ambassador for you. So you can see the full spectrum of how we operate. It's clean. It's, you know, very transparent. And the money that you raise stays in your local community because it came from your local community.
And I think that's one of the important things. Yeah. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, that's a big point Ryan just raised, because there's a lot of folks who come to these events and they're very hesitant about giving their money to a nonprofit. But if you can show the people that this money stays here and this is where the money went, they're more inclined to give. I mean, that's what we've always done to our sporting clay shoots. We find out what that capability gap is at the burn center, what they need. The first one with Bayview was cardiac chairs. They said we really need some updated cardiac chairs. So we had an event, we raised the money, we got them their cardiac chairs, and I was able to share that with the next year's sporting clay tournament. This is where your money went last year, and here are the Johns Hopkins administrators and doctors that were beneficiaries of it, and then they talk about it. But you know, son, becoming a task force leader is a win-win for everybody. You have that serving heart. These guys want to serve. And you're also kind of like joined the fraternity of firemen. We're not all firemen. There's some military, but the majority of us are firemen. And it's great hearing the perspective from firemen from across the United States. We have firemen from Hawaii all the way to the East Coast. And we share, every month I do a lineup. In the fire service, we had lineups where the officer calls the company to line up every morning, inspect the troops, make sure everybody's there, dress properly, but you also share, you know, what's going on in the day, you know, any previous fires, and just, you know, have a, you know, sit down, talk about what's going on for that day. And that's what I do every month with the lineup. And in the lineup newsletter or email, you know, guys are free to share any, you know, interesting fires that they had or entrapments, you know, and share it with the group. You know, it's not just, you know, we're not just talking about, you know, burns. It's also what's going on in your life in the fire service. So it's a great fraternity, you know, and on top of it, you're serving burn survivors. So it's a win-win for guys that want to be part of the task force. You're still very much engaged in the fire service and you're helping burn survivors. And unfortunately, a lot of times those burn survivors are your brothers and sisters that get burned in the line of duty.
You know, I kind of want to talk about the importance of the task force also. You know, you're talking about, you know, your emails that you send out, you know, and you sent out at the very beginning a lessons learned, kind of like a collection of your thoughts at the end of your career. I'm not going to read it because I think this is it almost needs to be in the handbook for the task force, just to kind of read through it and look at it. But you highlighted at the very bottom, and I kind of want to reemphasize this, if you don't mind, Greg. You have become a leader with heart and sincere ambition. You don't let your ambition cloud the way of your principles. And I think that truly represents the mission of the task force. And, you know, we were talking privately before we talked to you. You know, I love your emails. I think, if we're not responding, but it stimulates conversation and it definitely stimulates thought. And it puts a whole different perspective. You know, you feel truly a part of a team when you have that type of communication. And so I think going forward, what you're doing with the task force is going to want guys to come in here and be a part of this. Like you said, this is a fraternity. It's a brotherhood. This is there's no group like this. And, you know, whether it be here at the headquarters with Ryan and them or with you through an email communication, I don't think people understand the magnitude of the mission that we have here and what we can do until you actually join on, until you actually get that $1 raised to make that one change for that one individual. Because I was going to ask you, you know, the importance of establishing these relationships with these burn centers. And I think you've very well clarified it. You understand their needs. You understand your locals' needs. You understand their wants and their desires. And how do we come together to make that mission happen? Well, we get off our asses and we work hard. And we have guys that are on this mission together with us. You know, we're blessed here in the state of Texas. We have multiple guys here, and we can have a lot of stuff going on. You know, there's some places that it's just one guy in the state alone, and the more people we can get on board in these states to help that task force leader out, I think makes your life easier, but it also makes the mission that much more real for us.
Well, I tell you another important component that Ryan touched on earlier is the mental side of it. You know, Sons of the Flag, there's a lot of burn survivors that don't, you know, they're getting good help. They don't need, you know, an additional surgery. Mission Reconstruct's not for them. But where we've also helped them is the mental aspect. I've got a fellow firefighter in Baltimore City who had his hands burned real bad in a fire about 2 years ago. And, you know, we set him up with Mission Reconstruct, and they looked at it, and they Skyped, and they said, you know, you're on track. You know, they're doing real well. There's really nothing for us to do. Everything's going good. But it wasn't until later on he reached out to me. I just got a thank you letter in the mail and a nice T-shirt from him thanking me for just being there and talking to him. And that's the side Sons of Flag also does, the personal side that is huge with these burn survivors. It's just being that voice to talk with them. And he appreciated that. And you do that sometimes, you only realize you're doing it. And it's something that makes you feel good that the organization is able to offer so much more than just the surgeries, the pressure garments. It's that personal side.
Absolutely.
Sons of Flag is a personal organization that just wants not just to see to your medical needs, but also your emotional needs. And that's where the task force plays a huge part also.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're trying to wrap this up. I want to throw in Landon here. Landon, he gets a lot of credit, but he doesn't, right? He tries to shy out of the spotlight, but I want to throw a couple final words. Landon, do you want to add anything? Because you see a lot of what transpires from a non-firefighter, non-military individual who helps run this operation. You have a different perspective of what's going on.
Well, you know, 2020 really showed us a lot, you know, how we're going to overcome a really difficult situation. And, you know, if you follow us on social media, if you listen to these radio shows, if you watch our videos, you know, please share it, please send it out. We were able to raise somewhere around $75,000 on social media last year, which I was pretty blown away because a lot of people didn't have money. A lot of people were unsure about their lives. You know, just stick with us and keep listening and keep sharing, because, you know, every single time you like something, every single time you share something, every single time you mention us, that pushes the Fight Burns mission forward. And without that, we don't have anything. We need your support. We need your vote of confidence. If you know a firefighter, if you know a organization or a doctor, you have a friend that, you know, just wants to be involved, send us an email. Send us a shout out. Just, you know, get in touch with us, because that's, you know, we're here to help people. We're here to fight burns, and we're going to continue on that mission for as long as we possibly can. But without you, we can't do it. You know, become a recurring giver. You know, in these times of uncertainty, we really need people to, you know, we really need to know that money's coming in. And whether it's $1, $5, $10, $30, you know, if you want to cancel one of your subscriptions to Hulu or something, and then you want to give that $7 a month to us, you know, every single dollar is appreciated. Become a recurring giver so we know what's coming in through that door. We know who we can help. And we know that, like Bird said, we can expand. You know, with this new program coming up, we're going to have a lot of new people in need. And, you know, with your support, we're going to be able to, you know, just crush it.
Ryan, last words?
Last words.
Famous last words.
Oh, boy. Well, don't get caught up in all the noise. You know, if you want to actually have some clarity this year in your life, shut the news off. Stop your social media for a couple days and be present within the circle.
Amen.
The circle that you're in. You know, it's a funny thing about it is, you know, it does get me pissed off and worked up at times when I watch this stuff, and you have to stay current at certain things. But I look at the circle that I'm surrounded with every day, and I really indulge in that. And it's just, it pushes all the nonsense and the BS out the window. So have hope that this year is going to be a great year. We're all going to learn a ton of stuff this year with whatever job you're doing in life, for new parents out there, for old parents out there. We're all going to learn stuff this year. And so that's cool that we're all going to engage in stuff that we didn't know. And we're going to help a lot of people this year. Big thing for me is just make sure that at least once this year you share the word of Sons of the Flag to somebody that doesn't know about us. Help us increase our goals and increase our numbers of people who know that Sons of the Flag exist. Our big thing is if a patient gets burned and they don't know that we are here, we can't help them. So make sure that we're known so we can help people. That's what we're itching to do. We've got the bandwidth to do it. We've got the programs to do it. We're crushing it, and we're not going anywhere. So we appreciate you always listening and tuning in to make our show a success. We're going to continue to give you great content, and we're going to continue to support burn patients as we revolutionize burn care for all Americans.
Greg, final words?
Come join Sons of the Flag. Join something that's bigger than yourself. And all our firefighters out there, stay as safe as the mission allows, because God knows our missions aren't always safe. So,
thank you for listening to Sons of the Flag Radio. We truly hope that you enjoyed tonight's episode. If you'd like to listen to any of our other episodes, then log on to Fire Engineering Blog Talk Radio and type in Sons of the Flag, or log on to our YouTube page and type in Sons of the Flag. If you'd like to support Sons of the Flag or join the team at Sons of the Flag, or would just like to see a list of any of our upcoming events, then log on to www.sonsoftheflag.org. Be sure to look us up on all social media by typing in at Sons of the Flag. As always, we thank you for listening. Stay safe, stay passionate, and keep the mission first.